It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. There's been a lot of baseball negativity this morning with the Mets and Yankees. Talked about it all morning long. If you missed any of it, go back on the free Odyssey app and check it out. Jerry will have more of those highlights and lowlights and stuff coming up at about 20 minutes from now. We are going out to Northern California next week, and we're going to be playing Pebble Beach in Spanish Bay, but Al and Eddie are going to be coming with us. It's a whole team trip, a whole show trip, which is exciting and fun because we did not go to the Super Bowl this year, and we didn't get our time away together, so we get at least a couple days or time away together, which is always fun, and I think, you know,
team building is nice.
So Al and Eddie, at least Eddie, will be on some hikes, and we were talking about, you know, potential animals that could kill Eddie on a hike, and then got talking to bears, and then talking about the Grizzly Man documentary, and then people, of course, having experiences and thoughts on this. So I thought, if you're okay with it, instead of going and rehashing a bad throw by Brett Beatty or Devin Williams giving up a home run, then we take some more bear calls. What do you think?
I'm all for it.
Okay, good, good. Just making
anything
sure.
Anything to change the negative subject.
Yeah, I feel like we need to just, you know, we did, what, 3 hours on it?
Yes.
You can always go back, listen to it. We gave you hard sports takes on it.
Really hard sports
takes. Now I
want
to talk about bears eating people. And that's
talking about the third base coach of the Mets.
Yeah.
Sourdough.
That's right. Let's go to Ron in Roxbury. What's going on, Ron? Hello, Ron.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Good. What do you got for us?
Listen to you every day. I'm a United States Park Ranger at Upper Delaware River in New York State.
Okay, nice.
We get a lot of bear calls time to time. Mostly the camps up here, they like the dumpster dive up here, so we go over there. And usually the siren will take care of it, but if it's more annoying, we got some rubber shotgun shells. We'll engage with them.
Okay, and these are black bears, right?
These are black bears, correct.
And they're just kind of like, they're just looking for food and whatever, and as you said, dumpster dive in there. They're not generally aggressive with the humans like the grizzlies can be.
They're generally not aggressive like the humans. The problem is, like you guys said before, is the people feeding them.
Oh, well, I mean, that's just stupid. Why would you feed them?
I mean, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Feeding that bear, I mean, you know, you feed a cat, a stray cat, it comes back every day. That bear's going to be doing the same thing.
And that cat could be feral.
Could be feral.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't need that. Have you ever shot a bear with a rubber bullet?
I have, yes.
Well, how do they react?
I've shot two. Tell you what, the reaction's not what you think it is.
Where do they go? Like, what the hell, man?
It hits them, they turn around and look at you.
Okay. Well... And then they scurry off, or no? They just like, hey, that didn't do anything to me.
They never been hit like that before, so they usually they either jump out of the dumpster and scurry off, or the siren works a lot better, actually.
Okay.
The loud siren with the patrol truck.
Okay. All right. Very good.
You hit the bear in the ass, turn around and look at you like, what that?
Yeah, I mean, come on. What are we doing, rubber bullets now, man?
I mean, you're the ones who put the freaking dumpster here.
Right, exactly. All I'm looking for is like a half-eaten sandwich. Leave me alone. Let's go to Alan in Detroit. What's going on, Alan?
I wanted to tell you guys, one, the bear eats the skin of the fish. Hello?
Yes, the bear eats the skin of the fish, yes.
Just the skin. He don't eat the whole tuna, the whole fish.
Well, why not?
The protein.
Okay.
All the protein is in the skin. You find, and the other thing, that guy, I watched the whole thing. He said that this bear, if any bear gets me or kills me, it'll be, he had a name for the bear too. It'll be this bear because he's hostile and he, every time I can't run him off real good like the other ones. And then the bear got him. And when they went there, the bear was still around the carcass. So that's why they shot that bear.
Oh, okay.
And that's the only bear they shot, and they cut him open, found his. And that, another thing, I play golf. I play all the sports. Golf is the hardest sport to learn.
Yes.
And if you learn how to play in 6 months, a year, you're a bad sucker, boy. You can pull.
I
play them all.
Yeah, Alan. One more thing, Alan, because you seem to remember this documentary well. Wasn't there a woman too there that got eaten?
That was her first.
What the hell is going on?
I think he just said S happened.
Yes,
I got it.
I got it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, what?
This is why we get this explicit rating on our, I mean, it's our
twice
podcast.
Now.
But both very casual.
Yeah, right. Like not,
you know, it's becoming a much more casually used word.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Day by day.
Yeah, so, okay, so there was a woman who was eaten out there. It was her first time going out, and then she got eaten by the bear.
Wow.
I mean, if he's feeling that way about this one particular bear, I mean, why is he...
Why would you even be doing it? It makes no sense.
The Darwinism spot.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dan in West Orange. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Huge sports fan. Nick, Mets, Jets, Islanders, sorry. Boom.
That's
but
all right.
I did it. With the bear that was very quick. It's a black bear up in the Catskills, and I was told I had to take a garbage pail and hit it with my hand as hard as I can, make noise to make it go away. However, you guys are missing out on the best documentary of all time about bears, which is the Cocaine Bear. You guys know about the Cocaine Bear?
Yes, of course, and they made a film about it that was obviously an exaggeration on what actually happened.
But it was amazing. Imagine being a bear in the woods and getting a duffel bag of cocaine dropped on you. What's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, so I guess that was based on a true story.
It was based on a true story, but, you know, the thing about it, the bear would never go to sleep.
Yeah, of course. It'd just be running around.
Hunting, looking for anything.
Right. You're talking to the squirrels. I really do like you.
Jesus.
I know we got off on a bad start, but I actually think you're really cool. the bear lived for only 35, 45 minutes. That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. But so the people made a movie that the bear continued to you know, went crazy,
right.
Started hunting people and everything.
Yeah, because it was the cocaine intoxication, basically. The animal's stomach was filled with it.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Jim in Mount Sinai, what's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Love the show. So my buddies and I, we had a hobby. We would climb to the highest point of every state. So we did 48 out of the 50 states. And so we've been all over the place. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard it before, but there's a cliche, and it rings true, that you don't have to be faster than the bear. You just got to be faster than the slowest guy in your group.
Yeah,
so,
I would feel,
you know,
very
and,
good about this, yes.
So, yeah, right. So, but, you know, one of the creepiest things always was, because when you started out a climb, you typically have to start early in the morning. It's dark, obviously, and you got your headlamps. And, you know, we used to kind of like fight with each other to get to the front of the group, because when you're in the back and you're hiking through Wyoming at 2 a.m, you just know something is out there and it's stalking you, you know. And it's just a really bizarre feeling. But as I said, you know, you don't have to be faster than the bear. You just got to be faster than the slowest buddy that you have with you.
Yeah, but I mean, then you're going to watch your buddy get eaten by a bear and then have that on your conscience forever. Now, you hike a lot alone, Eddie, right?
Nothing, not in any place where it's true wilderness. I don't hike alone in like really remote areas.
Okay. But I mean, it's easy for me to sit here and say that I'm with a group of friends. If it's strangers, it's one thing. But if it's friends, and I know I could outrun somebody to leave them there, I mean, and to say that I'm going to help.
I think if it's the five of us, I think we know who's going to be left behind.
Yeah, but could you really do that?
I don't know. He's been around for a while, getting ready to retire.
I'd have to try like hell to stop. Listen, it's
easy
to say that.
Try to grab a stick or something, swing a stick, throw something at the bear.
I couldn't let...
Pick up a rock, try to hit it in the head, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to try like hell, and then if the bear ended up eating Eddie and we tried, then I'd feel okay. But if I just started running away when I saw the bear, you know, here's the other thing.
I would think of Eddie's love of animals. That's how I would look at it. I'd say, you know, he loves animals.
It's the way he wanted to go out.
And if he could go out anyway, this would be a way to fill a belly of a bear. And you know, I'd have to, I mean, it's a story for a lifetime.
But, like, how awkward would it be if we all ran away and then Eddie was stuck there and then he talked the bear down and then we had to see Eddie later and he, like, you guys left me to die.
Well, I mean, Eddie would, I don't know how you would say, take this, Eddie, but it's like, you know, it's like when you're on a bike ride and somebody you're riding gets a flat tire. with. You know, like, what are you supposed to do? Like, sit there and...
Yeah, but they're not going to die if they get a flat tire.
Right, right. Yeah, but the point being is, like, why are you ruining my day?
Yeah, Well put.
I mean, this is an extreme situation, but I could not live with myself if I didn't try to help my friend before they got eaten.
Because I mean, like, if this was a massive grizzly bear, I mean, yeah, I could see maybe throwing rocks at it or trying to...
Yeah, if it's an actual really big, really aggressive grizzly bear, you just run because you got no shot unless you have a gun or bear
spray.
Well,
I mean, it says you can talk it down.
Or something.
It says you can talk it down.
Yeah, but if it's charging already and engaged, forget about it.
I mean, if we tried to stop it and then it got you, I'd be like, listen, we tried. But if I just immediately saw the bear and we started running...
If we were there while the bear got him, what's going to stop that bear from getting one of us?
Exactly. And who was the defensive lineman who put his arm on Boomer, who is really...
Dexter Lawrence.
Okay. And what is he, three 70, bills plus?
70, 370.
These grizzlies can be 800-900 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, I know you have no chance, but apparently if you talk to the bear and say that you're a human and you don't sound like prey, you got a chance.
Yeah, perhaps. But if it's already engaged and charging and hungry and PO'd, you forget about it.
Yeah, it is a tough way to go.
You got no shot. Now, mountain lion, depending on how hungry it is, you got like a stick, you got a shot. You're not going to outrun it, but you have if you got a...
You hit it right across the head.
You have a shot of against a mountain lion, unless it does a sneak attack. But you have a chance of fending off.
I think people have, right? There's been stories about that.
And there's also been hikers that have been killed.
Yeah.
But you at least have a chance. But if it's a bear and a grizzly and they want to, you have no shot.
And just remember, you're in their environment.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So.
Well, sometimes these mountain lions, they come into neighborhoods.
Yeah, they do. That would be a tough one.
Remember out in Arizona, a lot of coyote, a lot of bobcat.
Yeah, those you have a shot against.
Rattlesnakes. Mm. But rattlesnakes, like now, because it's 112 degrees out there, so they're out laying on the golf course getting sun.
Yep.
They don't really want anything to do with you unless you step on them in the desert when you're looking for your golf ball.
Yeah.
Which is very easy to do, by the way.
Which I will not be doing.
This reminds you of a story I might have told before, but you're talking about animals eating people. There was a woman, true story, who got eaten by a pack of dachshunds. Wiener dogs. Look it up.
Was she a hoarder who died?
No.
And forgot to feed the dogs?
I don't know how it happened. It might have taken a week for them to do this. But a woman died by being attacked by a pack of wiener dogs. Dachshunds.
So they were the cause of death?
Yeah.
So it says wiener dog death on the death certificate?
Now, is that epic? Or embarrassing, Boomer.
It's totally embarrassing.
Well, it's embarrassing, but it's epic. I mean, like, if Jerry would have killed himself by hitting himself in the head with a golf ball in front of his two sons and his father, and they were doing it on Father's Day, that's embarrassing, but it's still an epic death.
Yeah, here we go. A woman in Oklahoma died after being attacked by a pack of small, flea-bitten dogs belonging to a neighbor.
Vicious small dogs.
Each dog weighed less than 40 pounds.
Yeah, well, that's a nice-sized dog. I mean, a 35-pound dog is a nice dog.
Six of the dogs were dachshunds. I mean.
You would think you would, just by standing, you'd be okay.
I mean,
how long did it take them?
So they had legs shorter than the adults' hands.
Yeah.
According to the images of the remains reviewed by the Daily. Well,
I'm sorry. I know a woman died here, but that's insane. I mean, a pack of dachshunds?
They're very short-legged dogs. If, in fact, they were dachshunds.
It says right here, they're dachshunds.
It does?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, this woman was 52 years old, and she was a housekeeper at the Hilton.
Yeah, healthcare worker, homemaker, and housekeeper.
Wow.
Yep. One was a border collie mix.
Although those can be about 50, 55.
It says the Dachshund Terrier mix. I mean, still tough.
Yeah,
to
well,
get killed by
yeah,
them.
Yeah, but terriers are hunter killers, so.
Yeah, but I mean, they're tiny. They yes, said the legs were small.
Most, yeah.
It said legs were smaller than the hand of the woman.
Theo Vaughn had a take on this.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I'm sure that was hilarious. Yeah. I mean, that was hard to believe when someone told me that story, but it's there. It's 2018. I mean,
I think we talked about it now that I think about it.
Yeah. I've definitely told that story before. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. I don't know about it being a favorite.
Oh, it is. It's one of my favorites.
Somebody died.
Yeah, I know, but there's nothing I could do about that.
And it was a very unfortunate death, obviously.
Yeah, clearly, but
Most deaths are unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But I mean, to be killed by a pack of dachshunds is funny. It's just his. I mean, I know it's dark or whatever, but it's funny.
Are you sure they're purebred?
No, they were dachshund terrier mixes.
See, there you go.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, you mix a dachshund with a terrier, you're going to get a maniac.
I don't care. Come on. That's insane.
And depending on how they were treated, they were probably hungry too.
Dachshund terrier mix. Yeah, look at these things. They're tiny. You look, put in dachshund terrier mix, and all of these dogs are.
Yeah, but you're also mixing up, you know, like the genetic makeup and the mix up and the brain.
So what? Elvis has got like 15 different dogs in him. We did it. Gina did a DNA test. Sent it away. And he's got, you know, Great Pyrenees. He got Lab. He's got a little wolf in him. He's got a super mutt mix, they call it.
You think they're accurate then?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they test them and they got a whole database and everything else.
Right.
But just go dachshund terrier mix on your Google images next time.
The dachshund terrier, like just the two.
No. Just look how big they are. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
You cannot tell me that's a normal thing to die by a pack of dachshund terriers.
All right, guys right here. Look at that dog climbing the freaking tree.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry back one more time this morning with another update and moment of the day. What's happening, Jerry?
Well, we are sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB, Major League Baseball. Trademarks used with permission. Obviously, the big story this morning at this hour are bear attacks. And I did find Kevin Outdoors on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
I found one video where he discusses these things. 1.8 million views. Not too bad. He did explain how rare it is for someone to actually go by the wayside by bear.
Bear attacks are very, very rare, and fatalities are even more rare. You're actually more likely to be killed by a wasp or being hit by lightning than by a bear.
How about that?
Interesting.
It was very interesting. Now, in both of these cases in the audio, the people were fine. These are examples of bear attacks that were caught on camera. It is what it is. And I'm going to be clear, the guy was fine.
Okay.
Quiet.
He thought that was going to work?
Quack.
Going quack.
Quack. Quack, 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 quack,
and he's okay.
He's fine.
Okay.
Well, what happened? So the bear just decided not to attack him?
Because he's going quack, quack.
I don't know,
because
they had an interview with him afterward, and he's like, I should have shot that thing. But the video, like, you see the bear.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the bear sees him and starts running at him, and it must look like the guy turns to run.
Quack?
Quack. Quack.
I like the first noise he makes.
Nah.
That sounds like something you'd hear here.
Man. Very funny. Yes. And then the other one I have is he's showing you a video of a guy on a bike. And if you hear, you got to listen closely.
The mountain biker is moving through the forest really quickly and startles a brown bear who charges.
And then he starts pedaling into the woods and falls off his butt.
So I mean, that sucks for someone to be have that encounter videotaped.
But they're both fine.
Yeah.
Well, it was his own GoPro on his helmet.
Oh, okay.
So, like, someone wasn't filming this. And I'm glad to see you guys got back to the conversation of what would you do when you felt bad if you were there. That was my whole point with Al this morning. Like, what do you do? You just leave your friend there to get mauled and eaten?
No, I mean, I would try my best, but then if the bear started eating Eddie, then I would run.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
But you try. I wouldn't just immediately run and say Eddie's going to get eaten because he's the slowest. I would at least give it a shot.
Or make noises.
Quack, 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 quack,
is it right now?
That was Joe with a caller?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, that is funny. So there you have it. There's the bear portion of the morning. Yankees lost to the Rangers in 10-8-5. The Jock Peterson game-tying home run. I'll give you Josh Young's game winner. So the Peterson home run was hit off of Devin Williams, who was trying to close out the game and collect the save. He didn't. He blew it. Jake Bird then blew it even worse in the 10th as Texas, walked it off, as they say.
It's a 1-1. Swing on a high fly ball deep left center field. It's carrying out of here. Third row. Three-run homer. Josh Young. And the Yankees have lost four consecutive games now. They're now 3-7 in extra inning games and 0-7 on the road.
Yikes. Yeah, not good. They are now just 7 games over 500, 60-53. They lose 8-5. First, Williams on the pitch to Peterson. Peterson was hitting a 126, really struggling, and yet he gave up the game-tying homer.
I mean, I'm trying to throw it down and away there, miss middle, and obviously he did what he did.
Yes, he did, and this team is really struggling.
Things haven't been going well for a while. And I think everyone's well aware of that, you know. I would say I'm trying my best. Sometimes that leads to the opposite outcome that you're trying to achieve. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to get it done.
It's amazing. You said low and away. I guess that was going to be a some sort of changeup, I'm assuming. And that thing just
hung out there
right over the plate.
Yep. I remember in Strawberry's book years ago where he basically said most of his home runs were off mistake pitches.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that is certainly one right there.
I don't think any pitcher really wants to throw the ball right down the middle. I mean, that was right in Peterson's wheelhouse.
Yankees have now lost four in a row. They're tied with Seattle for the second and third wild card spots in the American League. Texas a game and a half behind them. Will Warren, Nathan Eovaldi tonight on the Fan at 8:05. Aaron Judge is expected back in the lineup for New York. Now we get to the Mets. Their situation not much better. Here's how the go-ahead run scored in the 10th inning for the Guardians.
First pitch, bunted in the air toward third, fielded on one hop by Beatty, throws to second. It's off Lindor's glove, rolls into right. Schneeman scores. Ramirez goes to third. David Fry gets to second base, and on a bunt, the Guardians take a 6-5 lead.
And we play that. They took the lead, but the Mets did get a run back. Unfortunately, they gave up another run with the sac fly by Arias, and so the one run wasn't enough. They lose 7-6. Arias also hit a three-run homer in the 6th inning in this game. There was the 5-0 trailing comeback, just couldn't get all the way back for the lead or the win. This is Carlos Mendoza.
Yeah, it's a tough one there because, you know, after coming back, fighting all the way back, you get down 5 against a pretty good bullpen, and you're able to rally and, you know, tie the game and then just have some opportunities there, and we couldn't get the big one there.
No, and they had bases loaded in the 9th with Pete Alonso up, who at that point was 4-for-4, but he struck out, needed a fly ball, didn't get it, and then Jeff McNeil softly lined out, and that was it for the rally, and they wound up losing the game. Here was Beatty on that poor throw that led to the go-ahead run.
I just got to make a better throw on that play. The bunt was kind of up in the air, so I knew the runners were going to have a tough read on it, just because it went straight up into the air. And then I got it on one hop,
and I got to make a better throw than that.
Mets have now lost 6 of 7 after that 7-game winning streak, and so they now trail Philadelphia by a game and a half as the Phillies beat the Orioles 13-3. A couple more home runs for Kyle Schwarber, including a grand slam. You get Clay Holmes making the start tonight on Mets Odyssey Radio at 7:10 p.m. Later on this evening. All right. NFL-wise, we did a bunch of stuff earlier. This is from, you guys were talking about the Browns and Shador Sanders earlier. Here is Sanders. He is hobbled a little bit by some soreness in his shoulder, but every time he gets and steps on that field, it's an opportunity for him.
I think every rep I get in general is valuable. You know, we definitely take things up a notch, I would say, with everything. So every rep, you know, anytime I step on the field, I take it, you know, like it could be my last, because you don't know.
You don't know. And then he was asked about Deion, if his father wanted to visit. He doesn't feel like he's at the level he wants to be yet, though he's learning every day. Well, what if your dad wanted to come visit you now?
Yeah, I told him don't come.
And why did you say that?
Because, I mean, like, I look at it at my own point of view. Like, I don't want him coming to see me right now because I want to get to where I want to go, then for him to see me.
He's not there yet, and he was talking about his dad.
I appreciate that, but his dad is also coming off of bladder cancer.
Right, well, that was part of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I want to see my dad, but in the middle of me trying to get to work and do this on my own, it sounds like he wants to do it on his own.
Yep, agreed.
Which is good.
At Bengals camp, Jamar Chase with Evan Washburn from CBS. That's Al's man crush. In terms of what this team can do this year, he says we can be great.
I mean, the sky's the limit. And the sky's the limit always, every year. Defense getting better this year. Offense getting better this year. The first time where we really had a full, I want to say full, me, Joe, T, all that practice during camp. And first time we actually had a great chemistry together.
They just need to get out to a better start, but we shall see. Then Saquon Barkley was on Pardon My Take. Now, I know this is an old narrative, but I thought it was funny the way it was positioned. As he was asked about the offseason hard knocks from, you know, a year and a half ago now, or later, whenever it was, the video clips about him and, you know, how they don't want to see him go anywhere, specifically to Philadelphia. He ends up in Philadelphia.
Have you thought about, or maybe you've done this, apologizing to Joe Shane for just the fact that that clip just goes viral all the time? You kind of rubbed it in. Like,
no.
2,000 yards.
Yeah.
You could have done a little bit worse.
I think, you know, it's kind of on them. When you look at it from the inside, like, they have to sign off on that and make the decision for that clip to go out there.
And then he would go on to say, we're actually, who knows, play it, it's enough. They're good. They're friends. It's business. Whatever. And then lastly, I'll leave you a couple things here. Wink Martindale. He is now the defensive coordinator at Michigan. What do you think Wink Martindale is going to talk about in this clip?
Ohio State.
I saw this.
Oh, man, you see everything.
I do.
Anyhow, he's keeping life in perspective.
Oh.
Keeping the football team in perspective. And this is where everything kind of intertwines. I mean, I'm wearing the shirt today that says have a day.
I'll have a day.
And that's exactly what he's discussing here.
I get a amazing blue hat, have a day, because, you know, like Coach Moore, we talked about in the first meeting, our goals. So we're not talking about him anymore because tomorrow's not promised. Let's have the best day we can have. And I also like the show. Bob does sports, golf creators.
Isn't that amazing? In the middle of his press conference, he drops that.
Yep.
Which is pretty wild. And then he also talked about the other ones he likes.
All those guys, you know, Grant and the Bryan brothers and all that. And I saw those hats and I'm like, really, that's what it's about. Just having the best day you can have today.
Yeah.
Is that something?
That is awesome. And I love to see that. The more that those guys go mainstream, the happier I am for them. So I think it's very cool what they've been able to build there. And something like that is just amazing promotion for them.
And you know what the coolest thing was? And I think you would agree to this too, before we move on. How proud his dad is of him was so cool.
Oh, yeah,
Very neat. Very neat.
That was cool. And he's like a everyday listener. Which is
cool too.
And viewer of CBS Sports Network.
That is true as well. All right, let's get to, before we go to moment of the day, I got to give you the Yankees Thrival player of the game, brought to you by Thrival Infusion, and it is Giancarlo Stanton.
There's a line drive straightaway center field, a ball smoked, and it is gone. Big G straightaway center field, a line drive home run, a two-run shot, and the Yankees have the lead.
Well, it was
short. You can sit on my face.
20 feet high.
That home run is unbelievable, and that is why he is our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game. Brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit thrivewellinfusion.com. Boy, the guys at CBS Sports Network, fantastic. They had no notice of that. But yeah, that was pretty. And now he won't play tonight.
Well, he'll be a late inning, pinch hitter.
Don't you want him getting 5 at-bats?
I do, but it's turf.
Yeah, turf, exactly. All right, let's do moment. It's so funny. I had moment of the day all lined up about Boomer's vision. And then we got into talking about the player on the Kraken who encountered the bear while fly fishing in Alaska. Didn't Brandon do something with bears?
Yeah, he was the host of Man versus Bear.
And you can see how he could scare a living crap.
Unkillable!
Yeah, there you go.
Jeez.
Yeah, okay. Guys would do things against bears. Like,
but he didn't.
He didn't. He just hosted it.
He was the host.
Yeah. I don't really remember watching it. Then they had the bear tugging something and see if the man could tug something like the bear.
I think the bear wins in most cases.
How to scare off grizzly bears. Don't make any loud noises or screams.
Oh.
Slowly wave your arms above your head and tell the bear to back off. That speaks English. Do not run or make any sudden movements. Do not make any loud noises or screams. All right.
So just stand there?
Wave your hands.
You back away. And if you have bear spray, if it gets close, use it. And if you have food, drop it and leave it as you back away.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's standard.
The first thing it says, identify yourself. Hello, Mr. Bear. My name is Eddie Scazzeri. What's your name? Okay, don't want to share. That's fine. Anyway, I'm going to back away. And I'm a diabetic. I probably won't taste great.
There you go. Moment of the day.
You would definitely talk to the bear, Eddie, wouldn't you? You'd definitely speak to him.
Yeah, I would probably try.
All right, hold on for the boys. I'll put you right through.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. One of the things that we talked about last year at the beginning of the NFL season was that because nobody plays in preseason, they knock down the preseason games from 4 to 3. At the first couple of weeks of the season feels like preseason because no starters play at all. Now, with the Jets and Aaron Glenn, he has had competitive live hitting in practice, which is something Quinnen Williams says that he hasn't experienced since being in Alabama. Didn't do it under Rob Saleh. They're doing this whole culture situation.
Yes.
Do you think that we're going to see
legitimate
playing time for the starters on the Jets?
Yes. Not a lot, but when I say legitimate, there's no question that Justin Fields has got to get out there and play. He's got to feel it. He's got to get used to it. He's got to, as Aaron said, he's got to go through the whole process. And, this week is a good week for them because it's gives Aaron now a chance to set the tone for a road game at Green Bay and go through all the machinations that they have to go through in order to be organized before the game. And there's so much organization that goes into this. I can't even begin to tell you just all the little dynamics that are going on right now as they lead up and all the questions that, the people around the team, like not the coaches, not the, just the travel team. Like, how do you want to travel? Where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? When do you want to eat? What kind of food do you want? I mean, there's so many things. And I remember when Frank Reich first got the job in Indianapolis, and he said, I had people in my office like every day asking me, what do you want on the walls? What do you want on the floors? Well, how do you want the weight room to look? Things that you would never even, think twice about. Yeah. How are you lining up before the game when you're doing your warm-ups? Where do the offensive linemen go? Where do the defensive linemen go? Where do you do pat and go? I mean, there's so many things for a young coach to have to deal with, and that's why this part of it, at least, is really important for Aaron Glenn. And I think it's also important for, if Justin Fields' foot is fine, he's got to get out there. He's got to play. Like I was saying to Kay Adams about the slow starts that the Bengals have had.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Burrow's got to get out there. He's got to feel what it's like to have a real pass rush.
And that was a talking point for sure around the Bengals because of how miserable their seasons have started. Right?
I'm like, get out there and go play. I wanted to play. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be out there. And there was nothing worse than in the third preseason game, you didn't play well. things weren't going well. You feel like you didn't get into any sort of rhythm. And then all of a sudden, the fourth preseason game came around and you wouldn't play.
Yeah.
And you still had the bad feeling of not playing a great game in the third preseason game. Now, these guys only have two.
Well, so, three now, right?
Well, no, three if you play in the Hall of Fame game. Right?
No, it's three.
Is it three?
Yeah. It's three. The Jets have the Packers, the Giants, and the Eagles. In the
preseason. Yeah, all right. So then they're going to – they need to play. And I think with what he's trying to do over there, I don't necessarily know that he'll put Sauce Gardner out there that much or Garrett Wilson out there that much. But everybody else, for the most part, maybe Quinnen Williams, not so much. But they got to feel it. They got to feel what it's really like, and you got to feel the intensity. And, you know, they're not going to put – Justin Fields out there in the third quarter with the third backup line, you know, set of linemen.
No, of course not. Tonight, debut of Hard Knocks with the Buffalo Bills training camp. So I'll be watching
a lot
that.
Of Josh Allen, man.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. You know, I got to say, though, I used to look forward to Hard Knocks so much more before you had all these other things going on, like quarterback and wide receiver and another episode of quarterback, and then you got Hard Knocks in season. Like, the only time that you used to get that type of access and that type of show was with Hard Knocks training camp, and now it's all over the place.
When are we going to get DB?
Douchebag?
No. Defensive back.
Oh, defensive back. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
You got to get those guys in there. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're wild. I would say that. But, you know, wide receivers are crazy. We got that.
Yeah, that's
defensive
what I'm saying.
Defensive backs are almost
defensive
as crazy.
Backs is, well, depends.
Yeah, I'll put the first episode on, see if I could stick with it.
Yeah, know. You know, usually what it really comes down to is, you know, cut day.
Yeah.
And they'll focus on a player that is a long shot. Maybe the coaches or somebody in Buffalo say, this kid's got a real chance of making it, you know, and, you know, maybe follow a guy or two like that.
Yeah, hey, listen, brought you in here, you know, and you've been great and really appreciate your hard work. But, you know, we're releasing you today, give you an opportunity, other team latch on. You know, if not, I mean, we could maybe bring it back, practice squad, but just want to say, you know, appreciate the work and, you know, keep grinding, man. You know, keep grinding. Hopefully it works out for you. All right. Thanks, coach.
Do you think every head coach in the league actually talks to a player after they're released, or you think it's just the assistant? I don't remember.
Well, on a lot of the Hard Knocks, it's the coach and the GM together.
It is the head coach and the GM together. That's good.
Yeah. But I don't know if they're doing that because of the TV cameras that are there. Can't right, delegate something like that if you want to be taken seriously.
Well, I mean, part of it is, like, they tell the guys when they first get there, you know, this is our roster size, this is our limit. Some of you guys probably, you know, don't realize that you have a really good chance of making this team. You gotta separate yourself. Could be special teams. It could be, you know, practice the way you practice, the way you prepare, know your assignments. And, it, you know, that's how guys like Julian Edelman make it.
Yeah. Small white wide receivers.
Hey, the way Wayne Grabet made it. He was the total long shot. Basically an undrafted free agent out of Hofstra.
Yeah.
Who was a small but quick wide receiver. And small and quick, you know, nowadays it could be a real, you know, advantage in the slot. But
he's also tough as nails, too.
Yeah, he was. And by the way, he played the position that Jerry Rice played. He was the flanker.
The flanker.
You know, so we could move him around and stuff like that. But what separated him from the guys that he was competing with is that he really knew his assignments. He knew what he was doing. Mm. And if he didn't know, he wasn't afraid to ask. Or he'd want to work on it after practice. And that's, you know, that's the kind of guy that makes it, you know, that is not drafted. That's the Brock Purdy's of the world, even though he was a Mr. Irrelevant. But that type of player is out there and can make it and does make it.
Like Hall of Famer John Randall.
Yes, he was.
There's another one. By the way, you guys missed it. They made amends, John Randall and Boomer. John Randall was on Game Time with Boomer. And John Randall went back and watched the film of the game that Boomer was talking about. And he said, hey, that wasn't me. That was my teammate.
Now, I have a further update to this. I did have somebody look at that film. And he said, John Randall did swipe at your knee in one play. He definitely did. He says, but I couldn't tell whether or not he was diving at your knee during the game. He said, you were agitated for some reason during that game.
Mm.
I was agitated.
Okay.
It was a game we won. So
now the hatchet is now above ground again?
Well, I got to, you know, he seemed like such a nice guy, and his whole backstory is really amazing.
Yeah.
The great thing about that Game Time thing, for me anyway, is that you learn something about somebody that you never knew. Because you go into the in-depth research of it, and then you listen to them tell their story, and you have nothing but respect for it.